Morning.
We come back for the last two parts of our series on the Psalms. Our banner grows, another color has been added, another set of stripes. And we look this week at the wisdom Psalms. Wisdom Psalms especially invite thought. Where is the wisdom? Where is wisdom of God? What does it consist of? How do I find it? How do I acquire it? Why would I want to acquire it? What good does it do me? What's it good for? Pondering those questions, sort of the nature of the wisdom Psalms. And Psalm 19 suggests a couple of different ways to find God's wisdom. The first part of the psalm says, look at what God has made. Look at what God has done. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament declares God's majesty. Go look. You'll see. Now, they describe it, of course, in their cosmology, you know, the sun rising and running the course and coming down the other side and so on. We have a much different cosmology, much broader view of science. But the principle still works. God is a creator. It's the very first thing it says about God in the scripture. Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning created God. It's the second word of the Bible. Creed is the same way. Believe in one God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Creator seems to be a fairly important thing to say about God. So creation must tell us something about God. The more you learn about astronomy or astrophysics, biochemistry, the history of evolution, whatever you study that helps you learn the complexity, the breadth and the depth, the history, the grandeur of the universe should speak to you of who God is. The God who is behind this whole process. The God who is enabling it all to unfold. Then the second part talks about the Torah, the teaching of God, the law of God, the word of God. This is precious, more precious than gold. It lights up the eyes, not just gives light to the eyes. Yeah, I can do that just flicking on a switch. But it lights up the eyes. It takes more than just flicking on a switch to make my eyes light up. The Torah of God makes my eyes light up. It's sweeter than honey from the comb. In God's word, we find God's wisdom. We find who God is. In both of those things, God reveals God's self. God isn't revealing a bunch of truths for us to learn, or a bunch of values for us to practice, or a bunch of laws for us to keep. God is revealing God. And that is, the psalmist is telling us, the essence of wisdom. To know God, to be loved by God, to love God in return, to walk with God, to take part in God's process for the world. And these two ideas about where to find the wisdom of God were not only bedrock Judaism, they're bedrock Christianity. They're the first two, the supportive two, of the three functions of the church. What is the church? A community built on word and sacrament that does service. Word, sacrament, and service are the three functions of the community. It's who we are. Service is at the top, pointing out, moving out into the world. Word and sacrament are at the bottom, supporting this great sphere. Imagine an equilateral triangle with a circle inscribed. Those two are word and sacrament. That's service. This is community. It's word and sacrament that we're built on. God discloses God's self in what God does and what God says. To know that, to be built on wisdom. And these wisdom psalms, and there are quite a few of them, celebrate that and help remind us of it. Help us ruminate on it. That's why they're woven through our days. You take time to go back to them, read one, sing one. You know a few by heart. If you know the melodies by heart, you don't have to take the hymnal, although you're welcome to do that too. Just bring it back next Sunday. The ones you've sung. If you don't get it exactly right, so what? Sing it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Weave it into your life. This is where true wisdom is. In word and sacrament. And what God does and in what God says. Fits right into what Jesus is saying in the scripture this morning in the gospel, where he's pointing more to the opposite. Beware of false wisdom. Beware of stuff that can consume your life without giving you anything in return. I mean, look at this poor schnook in the first story. You talk about access to wisdom. He's standing in front of it. The incarnate word of God is standing there preaching. And all this poor guy can think about is, tell my brother to give me my share of our inheritance. Duh. He's just completely missed one of the great historic opportunities in creation. He gets the prize even over the one who's tearing down the barns and build larger ones, while God is sitting there saying, fool, what good's it going to do you? But their society and ours as well do pretty well at dangling that stuff in front of us. Chase the lure. You're like greyhounds on a track chasing a mechanical rabbit. Hamsters on a wheel running just for the exercise. But I'm not really a hamster. What am I doing on this wheel? Is this where wisdom really lies? Does it really sound, when I think about it, wise for me to say, you know, I can prove that I'm better than you because I can waste more money than you. I've wasted more money on my house than you have. I've wasted more money on my car than you have. I've wasted more money on X, Y, and Z than you have. I'm better and bigger than you. Does that sound terribly wise to you? But that's 21st century American wisdom. The person who can waste the most money is the most important of all. We can do better than that. Go chew on the wisdom psalms. Read them over. Sing them over. Think about them. Real wisdom, real joy in life, is found where there's solid value. Where do we find it? In what God does. And in what God says, in creation and in scripture, in word and in sacrament. God's wisdom is out there for us. Grab it and weave it into the fabric of your life. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.